Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, to all our grizzly grapes out there, guess what? We created a podcast, and so can you. When we were initially starting this podcast, we were floundering trying to find a platform to host our drunken ramblings. Voice memo, however easy, doesn't directly upload to hosts like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. As you may remember, we were only available to listen on Spotify because I couldn't get my shit together and figure out how to get listed on any other platforms, but not anymore. Our prayers were answered when we discovered Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. Hallelujah! Join over the 100,000 podcasters like us who uses Buzzsprout. Check out the link in our show notes or in the bio of our Instagram page to let Buzzsprout know we sent you and to be eligible for a $20 Amazon gift card. Because let's be real, we're all addicted to online shopping right now, and that could cover the cost of a better microphone than the ones we're using currently. Get creating with Buzzsprout today. Yeehaw! And now back to the show. So, hi, it's Andrea.
And it's Emily.
And welcome to Grizzly GURPS.
Yahoo.
Grizzly Grapes. So, love is in the air this episode. Welcome to our very special Valentine's Day episode. Courtesy of Emily's smart brain. She's the smart one who decided that we should do a themed episode for the most romantic holiday I suppose there is.
For all you lovers of crime out there, this one's for you.
This is our Valentine's gift to you.
See what I did there?
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. So I want to bring up real quick the sound issues that I was having last episode. So I was like straight up bragging about my new mic, and then immediately there was feedback. Like, as soon as I was just like, oh, how do you like my new sound? It was like, I am so embarrassed.
You try so hard.
I know. Here I am. All right, well, we'll get to this. So here I am sitting in my closet. Welcome to the pod cave. I'm sitting in my closet because also in the background of our last episode, you could hear sirens and then my cat Ziggy just meowing. So, I moved into the closet hoping to reduce the noise in the background. So I guess we'll find out when I end up listening to this back.
Okay. Also, I don't think like people can't see you right now, but her head is literally dangling under her clothes.
I'm in my clothes and my back is up against this ottoman that I used gorilla glue and like the cheapest fabric I could find on Amazon and like these cheap bean bags to make, so it will probably burst any second.
She's gonna blow.
It's gonna blow. I guess I should have asked too. Emily, do you have any Valentine's Day plans?
You know, at the moment, no.
A little spa day for yourself, perhaps?
drinking an entire bottle of wine and...
Yeah, I'll show my liver some love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I bought myself some specialty pasta from the little Italian market, and I'm feeling pretty fun and flirty.
That sounds like some good family fun right there.
What about you, Andrea?
I have nothing exciting except for Brendan had made reservations at a restaurant the day before Valentine's Day. So, so actual Valentine's Day itself, I will most likely be drinking and playing Mario Kart.
I feel like actual Valentine's Day, going out to dinner is like hell on earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all just, like, either couples that are way too into each other or incredibly disappointed couples.
I think we'd be the
Nobody
latter.
Wins. Nobody wins on Valentine's Day if you set your expectations that high.
Yeah, exactly. So, actually, we did something really fun the other weekend, too, which I kind of want to replicate for Valentine's Day. We were playing Mario Kart. The really, really old version. And we turned it into a drinking game, except for it was if you win, you had to drink your entire beer before the end of the race. And then if you lose, you only have to drink like a fourth of your beer before the end of the race. So that was
levels the playing
field. Yeah, it was supposed to be a handicap for Brendan because he won a Mario Kart championship back in high school out of the entirety of his school.
Nerd.
Yep. And he still beat me, even though he was pretty drunk by the end of it. Because he just kept winning.
Well, that is a fun plan.
Yeah. I'll have to...
You better go fight win. I'm going to be mad.
Maybe I should just sneak some, like, hard liquor into his cup.
Yeah, make him, like, a special mixed drink.
Yeah, he'll probably still win, though.
Like a spiked beer.
Yeah, yeah, he'll still win.
And it only makes him stronger.
It's like the magic mushrooms. They just make him invincible. So, another super exciting thing other than Valentine's Day and completely off topic, but I'm so unbelievably excited that we discovered Buzzsprout because now we're not just on Spotify, we're on all the major podcasting directories. So what's up, Apple? I see you. I'm
Mom
there.
Can find us now.
Yeah, shout out to Kathy. She can find us.
She's been trying so hard.
I know. I meant to text her today, actually, to ask her if she's eventually found us yet, but I didn't want to insult her.
We're not famous yet, Mom.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've actually... So in the episode that we tried to record over the weekend, but unfortunately my computer crashed. So this is our re-recording, which is probably for the better because I had just gotten back from a little brunch with the bride-to-be, Sarah. And we had just tried on like the dress fittings and I came back and I was absolutely hammered.
She sent me a text that had like what was it? It was like 5 U's attached to the word tipsy.
It was so
I can tell.
So maybe it's for the best that we had to re-record anyway. Yeah.
Not only was love in the air, also alcohol.
So much alcohol was in the air. But when we were recording that episode, I was getting so excited because I was like, wow, we've over doubled our listenership. But I am proud to announce that we've over tripled our listenership.
Stop.
Yeah. So as we had said, we blew up. No, I'm just kidding. We're still still not that much, but
we'll stay humble for now.
We'll stay humble. But that, I don't know, that made me pretty happy. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, shout out to everybody.
Yeah, and actually we've had a few suggestions from people, a couple of suggestions from our, from the void out there, from our grizzly grapes out there.
Love that.
Yep. So We will do our best to try and honor the cases that you guys have suggested as much as possible. So we will be getting around to those. Unfortunately for this episode, since it's a themed episode and nobody specifically asked for a Valentine's Day murder, it's not going to be any of your suggestions today. But
sorry to disappoint.
But we're gonna try our darndest to get to them. So to keep everybody happy. So those were our first suggestions, and then we've also got our first Q&A.
Stop.
So this one's from Abby, and she wants to know who we think is more likely to end up on the Cannibal Cafe. Which one of us is going to end up on the Cannibal Cafe?
Oh my god. I don't know. Wait. We can get
I originally thought I would, and then I recanted my statement. I don't know.
What? It could go either way, because I feel like, Andrea, you're definitely a wild card, and I feel like I've been rather unhinged lately.
I don't know. I'm really curious, too, like, what people would think, so. Yeah. So we're gonna have to create a poll. Once we air this episode, I'll create a poll on Instagram, and we'll see what the void thinks, who's going to end up on the Cannibal Cafe, so.
Is it? When you stare into the void and the void stares back.
The void stared back and hard. What a great question, though. Because I don't know. I don't know.
I'm really curious. What people think. I know. I'm going to be... I don't want to, like, sway the results, but I think I'm going to be mad if it's me.
I would be really curious as to why people would vote one of us over the other, but...
I know. I want to know. But I don't. But I do.
Do you think I'm a psychopath? Is that why?
Also, I don't, like, I hope people were as shook as we were to find out that there is such a thing called the Cannibal Cafe.
I think so. And I think that's why.
Super hipster.
Yeah, it does. Oh my god, somebody out there needs to create a cafe called the Cannibal Cafe. Or please don't, actually. That would be... Oh, do you remember? Sorry, that just reminded me. I have said for so long that my dream is to open up a cafe, like a little sweet and pastry shop in Dingle, Ireland, and call it the Dingleberry.
Oh, yes. I'll never forget that dream.
So maybe it's up to me to open up the Cannibal Cafe. I'll make it a chain. We'll have the Cannibal Cafe. We'll have the Dingleberry.
We'll keep the names coming. What is it? The Hot Shoulder of Mutton.
Hot Shoulder of Mutton. Yeah, we'll keep it coming. But that being said, so that was our very first Q&A. So if you guys want to send us questions, stories, send it to our Gmail, grizzlygrapes@gmail.com. And you best bet I'll be repeating that at the end of the show.
Per usual.
Yeah. But I also want to point out...
You had me repeat it like 5 times.
I know. I just kept... Hey, grizzly grapes. Mm-hmm. It starts to sound fake after a while, but... But no, speaking of firsts, I also want to point out, and this is a very exciting announcement, we have our very first Patreon ever.
Yahoo!
And so our very first Patreon shout out, which goes to Brandon McCarthy.
We love you.
whose toilet was featured very heavily on the last episode.
Immaculate. Your immaculate toilet, Brandon.
Yeah, so we're going to have to honor you in a very special way since you're the very first Patreon ever of this show. I know that you had sent me some pretty exciting content, so perhaps in the next Raisinette, you guys will be featured heavily. So thank you, Brandon. We love you.
Thanks, Brandon.
So, to celebrate the firsts, I was going to find Alan's coffee-flavored brandy, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
Okay. That would have been wonderful. Also, you were telling me about this, and I want to know the story. It's going to be juicy, people.
Okay, well, it's not that juicy, but I was really going ham trying to find it, which had led me to the Allen's Coffee Flavored Brandy website, which actually is swanky. Really swanky.
For the champagne of Maine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's called, folks. But so I couldn't find it anywhere near me, and I was trying to figure out how I could get my hands on that coffee-flavored gasoline, but I couldn't find it, so I ended up sending the Allen's team an email. Would you like me to read that email?
Do I?
Probably not, but here it comes.
Ready or not.
So I wrote Allen's this email. It says, "Good morning, Allen's team. I'm a native Mainer now living far away in the subpar state of New Jersey. I was attempting to find some Allen's coffee-flavored brandy to quell my pangs of homesickness for vacation land, but to my dismay, I cannot find any any stores in Jersey City. Do you happen to know if there are any stores in the area, even in New York City, that sell your sweet, sweet coffee nectar? Any guidance would be greatly appreciated. Warm regards, Andrea Tolman."
Why did you have to phrase it like that?
I don't know. I was going ham, but they actually responded.
Oh my God.
They responded in like 2 hours. That is some good customer service. So
wow,
I know
Allen's.
I know we have shit on Allen's in every single episode thus far, but that is some prime customer service right there. You cannot find anything like that those days or these days. Wow. I swear to God,
bravo.
I'm not drunk yet, but yeah. So they actually emailed me back and told me how I can order it. And you can apparently get an entire case of Allen's coffee flavored brandy for $155. So guys, hop on it.
Who would go through
and
case?
They also have cold brew.
Stop.
I'm shook.
Oh, you need to do the cold brew.
Yeah, a part of me wants to find the cold brew over the actual Allen's coffee-flavored brandy.
You've
got to
go on a mission up north.
I know. Maybe I'll
just have to take a
trek back up to Maine just for it. But yeah, so since last episode, my stomach has recovered, and I'm back on my old shit drinking again. So, Emily, on that note, what are you drinking?
All right. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to just preface this with the fact that I needed a wine that I could cook. I could make a sauce for my pasta. So I was like, okay, just something cheap. The alcohol will cook off. It's going to be mixed in with other things. I just need that flavor of like white wine. So I bought this Pinot Gris. I'm definitely said that wrong because folks, Andrea, I'm just going to show you through the little crack in the packaging. Look at that.
What?
Look how much I've gone through.
Emily! Oh, how the turntables.
We're approaching almost a full bottle, folks.
Oh, no.
No, some of that went into my dinner. Oh, it's by the same people who did the other shitty packaging.
Oh my God. Is the packaging a little bit better at least?
No, it's still wrinkly. And then the font sort of looks like one of the fonts that you use on, like, one of the Word docs. It looks like Word art, like cheap Word art, sort of.
Oh my God, yeah.
It looks like someone was trying to do, like, a medieval project.
That's what I was just about to say. It looks like a medieval writing.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's so kitschy.
Yeah. Is it good? Is the wine good? You can be honest.
No.
Is it good in your food?
It was great in my food. Okay. I made some squid ink pasta.
That was pretty flirty.
It was a fun and flirty time. So I would recommend this to cook with.
But not to drink on its own.
It is 13% though, so it does the job.
That will do it.
Andrea. What are you drinking?
I am drinking what's called Sweet Bitch. And it's actually called that. But it's their Moscato Rosé Bubbly. And it is sweet.
It is a sweet bitch.
It's like a dessert. It's like drinking dessert. Actually, you know what? It was not really that expensive. And probably only because, or probably because it's only 7%, which is a glorified wine cooler, essentially. But it actually tastes pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised by it. It's pleasant to drink.
It's kind of a fun time.
Yeah, if you don't like sweet wines, though, I would not recommend it. But it tastes very much like the one that we had when we went to the Rosé Mansion together. You know, the one that was in the Egyptian room? I'm blanking on the name, but...
Stop.
But it tastes like dessert.
So after we went to the Rosé Mansion, tried all these wines, and they have, like, a little sort of bar at the end where you can go back and get, like, glasses. We realized there was a special on bottles of the one that we loved.
Oh, yeah.
So guess who got one each?
And we stuck straws in it and just drank them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These habits have been a long time coming.
Yeah. This was bound to happen.
It's a honed craft.
Exactly. Well, that being said, Emily, do you want to get on into the crime, the reason why the void, I suppose, keeps listening?
Yes.
Or not. Maybe they just ditch after this point and they're like, bye.
Yeah. I'm tired of these two.
Yeah.
Okay, but I will say, folks, this is juicy Valentine's Day themed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this story will have you thinking that love is most certainly dead.
Exactly what I need right before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. For all my pessimists out there, I'm doing the story of... Okay, well, I will preface the fact that I had since this weekend to re-prepare this story, and I still cannot pronounce their names. Okay, I'm doing the story of the Shoics.
I love how you say that, and so confidently last time you told me you're a little trick, but look, it doesn't work all the time.
I know. I don't trust it.
I know.
I'm going to send you this name after, and you try it.
Oh, God. I'm going to butcher it. Like it's I usually do.
An unnecessary amount of C's in the name. Okay, but anyway. So picture this, Andrea. The setting is Snellville, Georgia.
Ooh, that sounds really romantic.
I can't say that with a straight face.
I know. Ooh.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds Snellville, like a Georgia. Kinky time.
Yeah. On Valentine's Day, so February 14th, 2010.
Ooh.
So Richard Shoick, who's 46, was Stacy's fifth husband.
Girl.
So immediately, alarm bells are going off hard. But, okay, so after the fact, Stacy's cousin remembers Richard fondly as one of the best out of those five. No, he was the best out of the five.
Richard.
Yeah, okay, you have to listen to the rest because it's super wholesome.
Something bad's going to happen to Richard, isn't it?
Shh.
Oh, no. It's always the people who are described as nice and wonderful. No.
Foreshadowing.
Damn.
Okay. So Richard actually adopted. So some accounts say two out of the three sons. Some accounts say all of his sons. Doesn't matter. Super wholesome. He actually adopted Stacy's kids. We love it.
You love to see it.
And if that couldn't get any more wholesome, he was the den leader for the boys' Cub Scout troop.
Oh my God. So cute.
No. And he loved hot air balloons, just all around a pretty stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're just gonna do like a brief little interjection and talk about Stacy, but I literally wrote one line for her because she doesn't deserve much more than that. So Stacy was the breadwinner for the fam.
Stacy's mom has got going on. That's all I can hear when you say Stacy. Sorry, continue.
I know. Oh, God. It's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of this.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Anyway, Stacy was the breadwinner for the fam. She worked for a large medical and surgical practice in the area. She probably made some bank. Okay. Anyway, back to Richard, because that's who we care about. His last night alive was spent cooking Valentine's Day dinner for Stacy and her elderly grandparents.
No.
Such a family man.
That is so cute and so sad because that was his last night, you were saying.
I know. And he was really excited. He was looking forward to Valentine's Day. And he and Stacy had made plans to exchange gifts and cards in a local park. And it was also their third wedding anniversary, so all around.
Wait, so they got married on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, isn't that kind of...
Oh.
It's a little corny, if you ask
me. I bet that was Stacy's idea.
Yeah, okay, sorry to anybody who's done that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm also not sorry.
Yeah. But, like, people sort of want to spend that night with their significant other, not watching you and your significant other get married. I don't know. It could be, like, a really meaningful day for you. Don't come at me, please.
I'm ready to fight. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Andrea will stand her ground on this issue.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, so they're going to meet in this park, right? And Stacy told Richard to go ahead and wait for her in the park since her shift, the relief for her shift was late. And she would just meet him there after. So I'll just say that detectives afterwards said that this park is especially dark and creepy at night. So it's kind of not the place you want to meet to like exchange some romantic, like gifts and cards and, you know, some, maybe a little smooch. Unless you're, like, a teenager trying not to get caught by your parents.
Maybe they're planning on, like, you know, doing the devil's lettuce or something.
Okay, that would be a fun Valentine's Day. Okay, anyway. So Stacy arrives 30 minutes later to find her husband riddled with bullet holes. 5, to be exact.
Excuse me? That is overkill.
Okay, so you're definitely onto something. Because detectives said afterwards that the shooting was too over the top to be random. Oh. And they found it odd that nothing of value was taken from his car or from his body. He had, like, $40 sitting in his car, his car's console. He had his wedding ring still on him, still his wallet.
That's weird.
Like, they're like, this is fishy.
Fishy.
Yeah. They also found a third. Oh, get this. They got really lucky because the dirt was really like soft in the park and it revealed a third set of tire impressions. So it was Richard's car, Stacy's car, and who else?
A mystery man.
Yeah. Keep listening, folks. So let's just say Stacy is a little sweet bitch, like your wine.
She's a sweet bitch, but not sweet.
Not sweet.
She's just
minus
a bitch.
The sweet. Anyway, she didn't even let police leave the scene before she spilled the beans about an affair she was having with her coworker, Juan Reyes.
Juan, 2, 3, 4. I don't want that man no more.
She did not. She is basically like framing him for this murder. She did not want that man no more. Anyway, okay, so picture how sweet Richard was. This affair had been going on for several years.
Oh my God. So he was sweet and she was bitch.
Yes. That is their relationship.
Sweet bitch. I am drinking the epitome of their relationship. Bless up.
Okay. Back to the story. So I had to include some, like, this weird quote. Let me know what you think that Stacy said about Juan. Okay, so she said this in a recorded interrogation. Quote, I am in, you know, I'm in deep with Juan.
Kinky.
I know. I'm a little confused. I'm a little scared.
I'm a little nervous right now.
Anyway,
I'm sweating.
My hands are clammy. gets a little weirder because Juan, who had no medical experience despite Stacy hiring him as a surgical assistant in her clinic, he was a former security guard at a hotel and she hired him as a surgical assistant. I know. Anyway, he was also divorced and with, quote, a bunch of kids. So he was clearly in need of money, which gave him an excellent motive. So, of course, detectives are like, oh, this is the guy. Wrong. Wrong. They said, okay, his alibi was solid, and he was actually trying to reconnect with his ex-wife and showed signs of wanting to get out of his affair with Stacy. You bitch.
Oh, the twists and turns.
I know. Wow, love is fickle, is it not?
Wow, these are too deep of lessons to hear right before Valentine's Day.
All right, folks. Well, take what lessons from it that you will. Anyway, so detectives were sort of at a dead end because the tire impressions were actually too generic to easily narrow down suspects in the area. But that is when an IT tech from Stacy's job came forward and saved the day.
Yes, IT tech.
Yahoo.
Save that day.
Mysterious IT tech.
Another mystery man, but for the better.
Yeah, he's like, it's my time to shine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he thought it was weird because a lot of emails from Stacy's computer had been deleted. Folks, if you're going to do crime, don't do it from your work computer. Just a little tip here.
Don't encourage people to do crimes well.
Okay, well, if you want to go join the Cannibal Cafe.
Yeah, if you want to start up the Cannibal Cafe, don't do it from your work computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, because this company, they run backups of all their, like, email accounts, which also revealed sketchy behavior. So he's like, you want this to the police? And they're like, yeah, dude.
Hand it over.
Yeah. Anyway, they found definitely lots of sketchy things. One of them was she transferred thousands into an account for a mysterious Lenitra Ross for some home repairs equaling around $10,000.
Girl, what are you doing to your home that costs $10,000? Are you getting an entirely new roof?
Apparently it was for leaks. Okay. Mm. Their relationship wasn't apparently the only thing falling apart, I guess.
So was the roof?
Burn.
Oh.
Okay, so that was sketchy from the emails. They also found out that Stacy's grandparents, Chevy and Paula, went missing for weeks, only to appear again. And, okay, not that it was like a huge clue, but the tires were almost exactly the same type that the detectives are looking for. Actually, they were the same type.
Oh, the mystery car?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sketchy, sketchy. Of course, now attention is turned to Stacy, so they're like, okay.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
We're going to use information from a cell tower, match it to numbers from Stacy's phone, and see what comes up. So they came across a call made at the approximate time of Richard's death that came from a guy named... Okay, this is the best part of the story. The call came from a guy named Reggie, also known as, quote, Mr. Results. That sounds like something from the Jersey Shore.
Oh my God.
The situation.
Imagine calling yourself Mr. Results. What a turd you must be.
Mm. So modest. We love it.
I love it. And I hate it so much.
As you can probably tell, Mr. Results did get some results, but then also failed quite miserably in others.
So he did not get any results?
Yeah, so the results were sort of moot at that point. Anyway, detectives quickly pieced together that Mr. Results is a hitman, which you could definitely tell.
Yeah, that's he might as well just, like, brand himself as Hitman rather than just calling himself Mr. Results.
I know. And honestly, I think that's a better name than Mr. Results.
Mm-hmm. At least you're not trying to hide anything, you know? You're just straightforward.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, wink, wink, results, wink.
I know. It's not like you're running a gym.
I know. Just picture him to either... He has to either be a hitman or he has to run a gym. Those are the only two things he could do.
Those are your only two career choices if your name is Mr. Results. Anyway, so it was clearly a case of murder for hire. And Stacy was waiting for a $500,000 life insurance payout, which, of course, she never received.
Good.
I know. She doesn't deserve that money. It's not yours. So, so this was, like, wild. So, Lenitra Ross, we're just going to back it up, ended up being basically, like, Mr. Results' secretary. So, basically, like, she's the middleman.
Wow.
But anyway, so when they're trying to arrest them, they didn't want each person to rat out the police. So they had to do this, like, calculated, like, arrests at... Or do an arrest at a time, but do it in an order that, like, that made sense. So they first arrested Mr. Results, then Lenitra, and then Stacy. It's very calculated.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to that police department in Snellville, Georgia.
Yeah, Snellville.
we see you. So Stacy obviously tried to deny everything. Even accused Richard of molesting one of her sons.
No, you do not come after Richard like that.
Precious Richard, who had done nothing but adopt your kids and tried
love
to cook your grandparents' dinner.
Yeah.
On your anniversary.
You do not come after my boy Richard like that at all.
Yeah. Also, she admitted that was a false allegation. And
good.
One of the child that was involved in that whole scandal even spoke in Richard's defense at the trial. So suck it, Stacy,
you dumb biatch.
I know. And you'll be happy to know that all three are now serving life in prison. So no more Valentine's Days for them.
No more happy Valentine's Days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Riding that solo train.
That is wild.
I know.
Mr. Results did not get results.
He did not.
Guys, love is dead.
Love is dead. So if you're feeling like your Valentine's Day is, you know, pretty poor, just be happy that your wife didn't hire a man called Mr. Results to take you out.
Buckle your seatbelt. Because you're about to go on one wild ride.
Oh, no.
So this is another one that will have you thinking love is truly dead. But here we go. On Valentine's Day 2007, Stephen Grant contacted police to report his wife, Tara Grant, missing from their home in Washington Township, Michigan. He walked into the Macomb County Sheriff's Office alone and explained that on the night of February 9th, he overheard his wife on the phone planning to meet someone at the end of the driveway. This was following an argument between the married couple. She had been missing for 5 days at that point.
What? And he just... decided to call?
Yeah, we'll get to that, but we're gonna, little record scratch, we're gonna be talking about Tara Grant for a hot second because she deserves to be talked about. So, Tara Grant was, by all accounts, an extremely successful woman. So, she was a consultant at Washington Group International, and she was the primary breadwinner of the family. So, girl power.
Mm.
Yeah. Also,
excuse me?
Yeah. And so, like, you can see, obviously, pictures of her and everything, and she just looks so brilliant. And she's so pretty. She has this beautiful, like, curly brown hair.
We love the curls.
Yeah, we love the curls. We love to see it. And she just looks so beautiful. And it just seems like it shines from the inside out. And, like, what a brilliant woman. Like, no. Super successful, super brilliant. And she was also the proud mother of her two children, a 6-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. And so she's also a daughter and she's also a sister.
Stop. I'm rooting for her so hard, and I know it doesn't end well.
Record scratch, we're going back to Stephen. So Stephen here mainly took care of the children. He worked for a few hours a week in his father's tool and die shop. But just when you think he's doing all the child rearing, other than just himself and Tara and their two children living at home, they also had a 19-year-old au pair from Germany named Verena Dirks. Dirkes? So
love the confidence on that one.
I said it so confidently at first, and then I was just like, nope, second guessing myself.
Yeah, you're definitely going for it.
Yep.
I thought you had it.
I thought I did too, but I'm so wrong. When Stephen first met with police, he gave information willingly. He admitted that he was annoyed by his wife's long absences due to work, and on the night that she disappeared, they had such an argument about her constant traveling. When asked why he had waited 5 days, which is why what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
To report his wife missing, he reported that he had left several messages on Saturday and Sunday on his wife's cell phone with no response. On Monday, he called his wife's boss, who advised him to wait. And on Tuesday, he called Tara's sister and mother. Neither of them had heard from Tara.
Oh, no.
He admitted that he believed Tara was having an affair with her boss. He also admitted that they had previously been to marriage counseling. Yeah.
I realize, like, no one can see the face that I'm making in this podcast. WTF.
Yeah, j'accuse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. I would love to know the evidence as to why you think she's having an affair with her boss. Please and thank you.
He sounds salty as hell.
Following Tara's disappearance, Stephen was all up in the media.
Of course.
Yep, so he was there tearfully begging his wife to call. So he would call his own press conferences.
I'm rolling my eyes so hard right now.
Yeah. Rolling your eyes into the next century. And he complained of being emotionally burdened and hurt. And he spoke about how his wife's rise up the corporate ladder had caused him significant stress. Oh, poor baby. He insisted that he had no clue.
Poor Stephen.
Yeah, no, poor Stephen. So he insisted that he had no clue where his wife could be. So not only Stephen was starting to look fishier than Tatiana from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 2 at this point.
The shade.
But with some digging, police noted there were no outgoing calls from Tara's cell phone. So as you can remember in the beginning of the story, he was like, oh, well, she received a call from somebody and she got into it like a dark sedan or whatever at the end of the driveway. And also, so during this guy's press conferences, I would really like to point out, because you can see videos of him like tearfully begging his wife to call, and he has the most insane eyes I've ever seen. They look like they're gonna pop straight out of his head like champagne corks.
The crazy Swayze.
Yep, he's got them. So Stephen went on the offensive and started to accuse police of targeting him. However, he agreed to a polygraph test as long as it was not administered by police. So,
oh my god, he's got such a victim complex.
He does. He's literally sobbing in these press conferences, just like, call me, just call anyone, me, and like sobbing, but no tears. No tears in those crazy, crazy eyes.
We're not buying it, Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen. Stop. The Detroit News published a series of emails in which Stephen Grant, expressed his frustration about his wife's frequent business trips to an ex-girlfriend. The emails were also extremely flirtatious, where Stephen was telling her he wanted to see her naked and that he wanted her to give him a sponge bath. Like a grandpa.
I know. I just picture a nurse giving a little sponge bath.
Yeah. So when called out about this, Stephen was like, well, you know, I'm a man and all men really want to see women naked. So he was really brushing it off. And it's like, okay, Stephen, you married man. Who's having an affair with whom?
I know. It seems like he was just trying to point blame away from him.
He was pointing fingers and none of them were to himself. He was just, woe is me, I'm a stay-at-home husband. Which, honestly, not to get super controversial here, but if the roles were reversed, like, I don't think you'd hear a woman go on the news and being like, oh, well, my husband had to go on long business trips and, you know, all the burden and stress was on me taking care of the kids, you know? So.
I know, that's your job as a parent.
Yeah, so Stephen, do you think you're going to get a trophy or something for this, like a pat on the back? No, you're a father. You're supposed to take care of your kids.
Your wife is trying to make bank for the fam.
Yeah, and it's not even like you're on your own. You have an au pair there to help you. So, cool your jets, sir. On March 2nd, 2007, Stephen Grant went on the news in an hour and a half long rant / interview.
Oh my god.
Yep. In this deranged speech, he both called Tara a good mother and a bad mother almost in the same breath because he accused her of not paying attention to the children. So here we go. Victim complex. Yikes. So now I'm going to go through a few of his quotes that he said during this interview. So the first one being, he said, and I quote, I was a better mom than Tara was. There's no other way to put it. I was the mom in the house. She was gone all the time. If the kids needed someone to take them to swimming or school or soccer practice, I took them. No, that's not called being a mom. That's called being a dad.
Yeah, you're a parent. Like, what do you want? A pat on the back for doing your job?
Yeah.
Sorry, Stephen.
Sorry, Stephen. You're being stupid. This would have made me so mad if I saw that, this interview. But luckily I didn't when this all happened.
I think you'd be shrieking right now.
Yeah, I actually watched the interviews and I was getting so angry. I wanted to throw my laptop through my window. So he said that he also felt like a valet because prior to Tara leaving, she had asked him to bring her car into the shop. So I'm sorry that your wife asked you to bring her car for repairs. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that your significant other asks for favors sometimes.
Especially when they're busy and traveling all the time for work, you know? So he also said, all I could do was close the garage door. I was done. I was tired of the bickering about the travel, and I gave up. And he also said, I know people think I had something to do with why Tara is missing, but I didn't do it. And
do what, Steven?
And.
Oh, no.
Here is when it gets wild. Only several hours later, on a warrant, police discovered the dismembered torso of Tara Grant in the family's garage.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, Steven was named as the main suspect in Tara's murder at this point. However, after the press conference, he was nowhere to be found. He straight up disappeared.
What the hell, Steven?
So, this twat waffle had the audacity to make these claims, and all along he was guilty. Guilty!
Okay, I don't understand what he thought he was trying to do by, like, overcompensating. He thinks that he's going to direct blame away from him. You're turning the spotlight on you, bro.
Or I almost feel like he was, like, convincing himself he had a reason to react the way he did. He was like, oh, well, she was bad. You know, she was a bad mom.
Yeah.
So to make him feel a little bit better.
Like, look at yourself, Steven. Look at your choices. You're the bad. Mm-hmm. You're the bad one. You're the bad egg.
Yeah, you're the piece of crap. You're a piece of dog crap. That's what you are. Not even dog crap. You're just regular crap.
A big steamy pile of crap.
He is the biggest, steamiest pile of poo. So 2 days later, on March 4th, 2007, Crazy Eyes McGee was found after police tracked his cell phone.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Following a phone call to his sister, so he was 225 miles away in northern Michigan's Wilderness State Park, and he had taken liquor and pills from his sister's house with the intention to complete suicide.
Hmm.
This little bitch boy had to be airlifted to Northern Michigan Hospital due to hypothermia. He had driven to the park, spent a night in the freezing cold with no coat. And so, obviously in the hospital, he confessed to absolutely everything, because there's no hiding it now. Crazy as McGee. And warning, this following part's going to get graphic, so for any listeners who do not like graphic content or anything violent or gory of nature, you may tune out, but here we go.
I'm nervy.
Yep. So, Stephen did tell the truth by saying that they had argued on the night of February 9th, although who's to say, because he's the only one surviving out of this. He claimed that when she turned away, he grabbed her hand and she slapped him. He then lost it, hitting her back and then strangling her with a piece of clothing. Knowing he'd be going to prison, he panicked and didn't stop until his wife was dead.
Because, wait, what?
Yeah.
You're just making things worse for yourself at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit got real, but when you killed her, you just made that significantly worse for yourself, Steven.
Yeah, you may be going to prison, but at least you're not going for murder.
Not going for life, bruh.
Yeah, bro. But I guess he thought he could get away with it, because afterwards he used a belt to tie around Tara's neck and then drag her downstairs to the garage.
Ew.
Yep, the belt actually broke at one point, and Steven described the sound of Tara's head hitting the ground like dropping a watermelon on cement.
Ew, I don't like that.
And he then hid her body in the back of the SUV. 2 days later, he brought Tara's body to his father's tool and die shop, where, as you can remember, he worked there part-time. So he was slamming whiskey while he dismembered Tara's body with a hacksaw. Allegedly, he threw up in the process, which I don't know. I don't know if you did. Maybe he's just trying to be like, oh, I'm not all that bad, because I did feel bad about it, but...
Bro, it could have been the whiskey. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it probably was. He just is such a turd.
Like, I don't know what he's thinking he's going to get out of all these attempts to make his character look better.
He's not, because he just looks like a little bitch boy.
Exactly.
He's not even a sweet bitch. He's a bitch boy. That's what he is. He then used his children's red plastic sled, his children's sled, to carry his wife's remains into the woods where he could dispose of them, burying parts in the snow. However, upon hearing that police planned to search the area, he went back into the woods to retrieve the torso and stored it in a plastic bin in his garage.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, and all the while, he was thinking that if he did not go through with all this, he would be in prison for the rest of his life. Well, Steven.
Well.
Well. So, also in his confession, he admits to having a physical relationship with the family's au pair that I had mentioned in the beginning so confidently. Verena Dirks?
Oh my god,
Steven.
She's barely legal.
Yeah, she's 19. So, Steven, you dumb slut.
Cradle robber.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. This hoe bag begins writing dirty messages to a fellow prisoner of Macomb County Jail, Jennifer Kukla, who had slaughtered her children and was found mentally ill.
What?
In one of these letters, Stephen actually suggests his desire for a rendezvous in the closet one of these days, and that's an actual quote. Steven, you dumb slut.
Keep it in your pants.
Yeah. Also, I guess
I want to have a rendezvous in the closet. Sounds like
I guess he was hoping for a Valentine's Day miracle.
Sorry, Steven.
I shouldn't laugh. He's so awful. He's just the biggest piece of poo.
He doesn't deserve a Valentine's Day miracle.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even deserve dirty letters to anyone. He just needs to keep it in his pants. So subsequently, on Friday, December 2007, Stephen Grant was found guilty on the charge of murder in the second degree. On Thursday, February 2008, he was sentenced to a minimum of 50 years in prison. And on March 30th, 2010... Grant lost his final appeal in state court, so rotten jail, crazy eyes McGee.
Bye, Steven.
And that's the story of Mr. Piece of Poo, Steven Grant.
Wow, that was a wild ride.
It was, and it has been. So I know that those were both really, really heavy stories that don't make you believe in love anymore, so... do you have a palate cleanser by chance for the week?
Yes, I do, Andrea.
Please share.
It's a good one. Actually, I'm going to pull out... Okay, so... For my legality of staying here, I have to get my pictures officially taken as part of the process.
Oh, no.
And let me just... preface this by the fact that I was... The morning I got these taken, I was ready to murder somebody because my building didn't have hot water. So I took a freezing cold shower. Then I was like, okay, I'm just going to stroll on over, you know, going to have a nice day. Mind you, I didn't wash my hair.
No!
Because it was icicles. Okay, anyway. So the woman is really nice. I get my pictures taken. She gets them developed. So she's handing them over to me and, like, opens the envelope just to make sure everything's fine. When she does that, she starts laughing. It's not a good sign, folks. Not a good sign. Here, I have them with me, Andrea. Okay, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Not only do I look like a serial killer.
Can I please post a picture of that?
You might be able to. I'll look into that.
It's so funny.
Okay, so anyway, not only do I look like I'm going to murder somebody, but my forehead is so shiny... I have two spots on my forehead that are reflecting. So if you can picture this for any Star Trek fans out there, I look like I belong on Starfleet. I look like Worf. your newest recruit for the USS Enterprise.
Starfleet, here you come.
It's so horrible. When she started laughing, I knew.
I'm not a captain, nor do I claim to be.
Yeah, folks, it was pretty horrendous.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly.
I'm not kidding, it's probably the ugliest picture ever taken of me.
I don't know, my passport photo is pretty damn ugly. It was taken in Walmart with the most horrendous lighting I've ever seen. Mm. And it looks worse than that.
I don't know, I feel like you need to see it up close in its glory, Andrea. It's pretty
probably
bad.
Probably.
Do you have any palate cleansers?
I do, and I hope to God that you don't remember this story from last time we recorded.
Oh, no.
So this is actually, I had to bring this up in this episode because with the theme of Valentine's Day, romance, love, all that is in the air. But this is actually a story that Brendan shared with me, and when he told me originally... I was so shook. I didn't even know what to say. But with the theme of Valentine's Day, do you know what a chastity cage is?
Oh, no. I don't know, but I don't know if I
want to
know.
Want to know?
Well, it like a chastity belt?
It's like a chastity belt, but it goes over your tinky winky.
I'm trying to picture how that works. Oh, yeah. God. Ooh.
I mean, don't look up a picture because inappropriate, but...
if you don't want, weird, like, cookies advertisements to pop up later.
You're going to be scrolling through Facebook and then chastity cages are going to pop up on your feed.
Like, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks.
I don't want this. I'm hoping that that the internet isn't listening in now because I don't want that popping up on my feed. But anyway, so they make like chastity cages nowadays that are like Wi-Fi controlled, so you can actually control them through an app, like over the internet.
Oh my god, that's just and apparently, asking.
Yeah, it's part of like the BDSM sort of group. So, I mean, at least that was what was said in the article I was reading that Brendan had sent me. But
is it like a BDSM cafe?
Chastity Cage Cafe.
Yeah, Chastity Cage Cafe.
All right, somebody next Q&A who's going to end up on Chastity Cage Cafe. But apparently there has been a thing where hackers will literally hack into these apps and lock the chastity cages so you can't get them off. And there was this one instance where this guy messaged another guy saying, "Your cock is mine now," and then and then asked for a ransom of 0.02 Bitcoin, which equals $750.
So I feel like a regular ransom, it's like, give me Bitcoin.
Yeah, give me Bitcoin. What an age in which we live.
I'm going to hijack your chastity cage. Give me Bitcoin. I hate it.
Oh my god. Yes. Yes. I hate it so much. But wow. What a time in which we live. That made me laugh so hard. It's probably not that funny. Because I was thinking, I'm like, what if you have to pee?
Is it like,
do you have to like
a legit cage?
Yeah, it's like a legit cage.
You just pee through the bars.
I don't know, do you just wet yourself and hope for the best? Maybe it short circuits and unlocks itself?
Oh my god.
Also, I don't want to think too locked, much about it.
Like, depending on how long it's locked, say you got hijacked, like, you can't put pants on over that, can you?
I think so. I think that's the thrill, that you can just wear it around in everyday life.
I don't know.
Unless they try and, like, maybe kick you in the balls and then they realize that they're kicking metal. Yeah, I don't know. But on like a less kinky note too, I guess I have a smaller palate cleanser. Is I was going through our pantry the other day because I was trying to find some crackers for my chunky ass, and I saw that Brendan had bought unicorn shapes Kraft macaroni and cheese. And mind you, this is a 30-year-old man.
A grown man.
A grown and very, you know, successful man just buying himself unicorn-shaped Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Just trying to stay youthful.
Yep. That's my man.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I hate it when people say that. I'm going to cut that out.
Or not, because we're still recording, so.
Oh, shit.
Sucks to suck.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, lovers.
Yeah, and stay safe if you're wearing chastity cages.
Yeah, stay alert, stay aware if you have chastity cages, especially if they are Wi-Fi and remote controlled. But that being said, Emily, where can you send us your stories/questions?
I've been trained for this moment. grizzlygrapes@gmail.com.
Yep. And Instagram?
Grizzlygrapes. At Grizzlygrapes.
Twitter?
At Grizzlygrapes.
There you go. And Patreon. Grizzlygrapes. And
it sounds so weird because nobody can hear you in this apartment building. So I'm just saying Grizzlygrapes over
Grizzlygrapes, and over. Grizzlygrapes, Grizzlygrapes, Grizzlygrapes.
Just chanting.
Yeah, so, yeah. Summoning. You sound like you're in a weird cult. But also, we have our website, so if you can't find anything, check that out. It's www.grizzlygrapes.com. And we're now, again, on all the major podcast networks. So if you can't find us on Spotify because you are boycotting Spotify.
Or if you're like our mother.
And, yep.
Who can't figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, wait, really quick. On a really happy note, Mom actually just texted me and said that she's listening to our second episode.
Stop.
So she's about to get to the third episode.
When she gets third episode where you thought I said that I was doing coke.
I know. Mom, turn it off.
Oh, no.
But she's close, so stay tuned.
I love you, Mom.
I love you so much, Mom. Please forgive me. I'm talking about chastity cages. People holding people's tinky winkies for ransom for Bitcoin.
Oh my god, she already heard about the Cannibal Cafe.
She did. She heard all about tinky winkies. Mom, your motherly ears.
Forgive us.
Forgive me for my sins. I guess we should just end this now before it gets worse, but...
You're just digging ourselves deeper into this hole.
So that being said, Emily, stay...
Gerpy.
Bye!
Bye.